Hi everyone, Emily here. I am so sorry that it's been so long since we posted an episode. It's entirely my fault. Britt is blameless in this particular matter. Life has happened and gotten in the way, but new episode coming at you right now. Just wanted to say that this is going to be our last episode for a while. I am currently thousands of miles away from Britt, so recording is a little bit difficult. So we'll call this the end of season one, and season two will be coming at you sometime in 2019. So look forward to that. So hope you enjoy. Please keep listening. Please don't forget about us. We love you. Goodbye. Welcome to Weird Stuff Happens in Canada.
My name is Britt.
My name is Emily.
This is a podcast about Canada and the strange and wonderful things that happen in it.
And sometimes not wonderful.
Sometimes horrible.
Strange and wonderful and horrible.
Yep. Isn't that what every country is made of?
Not, I don't know. I tried to think of, like, what's, like, a perfect country.
I guess people say that about, like, Sweden.
Yeah.
Or Norway.
Honestly, I bet, and, like, weird things happen in Sweden, the new podcast that's coming out, there's, like, some dirty secrets.
Well, there was, like, a bunch of Nazis and stuff.
Didn't they have, wait, where's the, like, the thing where they're discovering all the particles? Is that in Sweden?
Ooh.
Switzerland. It's in Switzerland.
Anyways, this is part two.
Part two of a two-part episode.
About immigration. Emers, where did your family come from?
Well, glad you asked. They came from all over the place.
Did they?
No. My family came from Ireland in the 1780s.
Whoa!
And then also from what used to be Russia and is now the Ukraine.
Wow. So just those two places,
just eh? Just those two places.
When did your family come from Ukraine?
Like the 20s.
Okay. So not too far back.
Bert? Where did your family come from?
My family also came from all over, as is, I think, the story of many Canadians these days.
We are a melting pot.
It's just a mishmash. Mm-hmm. My mother was born in Italy.
Ah, Italia.
So I am a first-generation immigrant on my mother's side. My father's family came from Germany and England and Ireland and France.
Wow.
I know.
So many places.
Yes. Now, this is a story.
Oh my gosh.
That was a bad segue. But I think this is a story that maybe people like my mom or people of my mom's generation who are, you know, immigrants who came over in the post-war period could potentially relate to. But it's a story that I myself was not aware of. I did not know this group of people even existed.
Right.
And I discovered it as I was researching something else.
Isn't that always the way?
So this is the story of the lost Canadians.
Ooh, where'd they get lost?
You will find out.
Oh my gosh.
They got lost by the minutiae of Canadian bureaucracy.
Oh no.
Which is something I kind of find interesting. So it's interesting because, like, your story was very broad and historical, which is great. But I find there's something very interesting, and I'm sure the lost Canadians would not agree that it's interesting. They would find it frustrating. Mm-hmm. But about how just very fine details within laws can completely fuck up someone's entire life.
Yeah.
And you're like, what? How? What? So this is a story of that.
Great.
So in 1946, the Canadian Citizenship Act was put into place.
I love that act.
No. It's in my top five.
You hate it.
Oh, I hate it. So my bottom five.
Yeah, you hate it so much. So this was when they were trying to distinctly separate Canadian citizenship from British nationality. So before this, there was like a bunch of like British immigrants that were over here, blah, 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 blah. And so they were like, this is going to make like distinct Canadians. They're going to have a Canadian passport. So before that, there was like the Immigration Act in like 1910, and that was like to designate British subjects who had been born in Canada. Nobody cares about that anymore. 1947, Canadian Citizenship Act, that's where it's at.
That's where it's at.
Then in 1977, this was replaced by the Canadian Citizenship Act of 1976, which is now commonly referred to as the Citizenship Act. All of this is very boring.
Also, they couldn't come up with a better name than just calling it the same thing?
No. They were like, we'll add the date in, and that'll be the difference. And this act has gone through four significant amendments in 2007, 2009, 2015, and 2017. And many, if not all of these amendments, were because of the Lost Canadians. What? Who are the Lost Canadians?
Tell me. I'm dying to know.
So, this was a large category of individuals who believed that they were Canadian citizens.
Okay.
But technically never possessed or lost their citizenship due to outdated or inconsistent laws having to do with the Citizenship Acts of 1946 and 1976. So, these were like, they were not covered in those acts, or those acts weirdly excluded them, but they never knew because they were, most of them were born in Canada and lived their whole lives in Canada.
Right. And there was probably never a time where someone was like, let me read you this act. It excludes these people and these people and these people.
Yeah. And nobody like wrote them a letter and were like, hey, you're not actually a Canadian citizen.
Oh my God.
So, the types, like some examples of types of people who were not included under the Citizenship Act when it was created in 1946 included the following. Someone whose father became another citizen, the citizen of another country when he was a child. So you're born here. Your father's born here. Your father wants to become a citizen of Argentina. He gets his Argentina citizenship. Suddenly you are no longer counted as a Canadian citizen.
Even though you're born in Canada.
Exactly. Someone born in another country who did not live in Canada on his 24th birthday.
What?
A war bride who was never naturalized. A war bride's child who was never naturalized. A second generation born abroad Canadian who did not assert citizenship by his 28th birthday.
So you had to be like, I declare citizenship.
Exactly. Or like, go get your passport. But some people never travel until they're like in their 30s.
Especially if it's like the 40s.
Exactly. Like. And so there's a couple more, like someone born out of wedlock was one. A person born to a military service member outside of Canada. A person who married a non-Canadian before 1947.
What?
So a lot of these rules are coming out of like the outdated idea that they had in 1947 that women and children were essentially chattel.
Right.
Who belonged to men. So it was very much dependent on what the father or husband did.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said before, in most cases, these people never even knew they weren't citizens.
Wow.
They just kind of assumed. And so they didn't know until they applied for government pensions or their passport or they tried to receive health care. And then suddenly were rejected because they weren't technically a citizen of Canada.
Oh my God.
So there's this guy named Don Chapman who's from Gibson's, BC. And so a lot of these lost citizens became known, or lost Canadians became known as chattel children or the Chapman group because of him, because he really like went through the ringer and discovered this, and he really brought it forward into like the public eye, like these, this group of people. So, the story of Don Chapman is that unbeknownst to him or his family, he lost his Canadian citizenship as a young boy. And it took him more than three decades to get it back. So, under the Citizenship Act, anyone whose father took out citizenship in another country automatically lost his or her citizenship as well, as I said before. And so his dad went to work in the U.S. and got his citizenship when he was in the U.S. And so because of that, Chapman and all of his brothers and sisters lost their citizenship because of that.
Whoa.
Another case is one of Magali Castro Gear.
Whoa, great name.
And so her family has been in Canada for 10 generations.
That's so many generations.
Yeah, and her mom never took out citizenship in any other country, nor did any of the children. However, when her father was a child, or when she was a child, sorry, her father was required to take out U.S. citizenship for his job, and no one thought anything of it until she applied for citizenship certificates for her children. And that's when the federal government told her that she had lost her legal right to be a Canadian. It's just very strange. And then to rectify this, she was forced to move to Switzerland where she could gain legal status because her husband is Swiss. And then she regained her citizenship by suing the Canadian federal government. So it's just this really strange legal limbo that it like throws people into because of these
bizarre
weird rules. And like, it's just like a weird legal loophole that nobody really knows about until the government is like starts enforcing it.
Right.
It's very strange. So there was another guy who, his name was Mike Leach. He's in Toronto. He was born to Canadian parents, but his father left the family when Mike Leach was a child. And then shortly before his parents' divorce became final, his father took out citizenship in the U.S. and Leach lost his citizenship as well, even though he had not seen his father for many years. As a result, he was unable to bring his wife into the country, but when his story was told in the national media, he was given a grant of citizenship. So it's just like, there's like so many of these stories.
And it just seems so like arbitrary.
Yeah.
And then they can just be like, oh, never mind, you're a citizen now, JK, JK.
Yeah. So then all these stories were coming out in like the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. And so in 2007, the Canadian Minister of Citizenship and Immigration, Diane Finley, she was like, we're going to amend the Citizenship Act because it's crazy, like all this stuff that's going on. And so under the proposal, any citizen naturalized in Canada since 1947 would have citizenship, even if they lost it under the 1947 Act. And then a lot of those weird rules, like born to a Canadian father who then got citizenship, that was all eradicated. And then she stated that as of May 24, 2017, there were only 285 cases of individuals in Canada whose citizenship status needed to be resolved.
Oh, only 285.
Only 285 people who were just like, but I can't travel or go anywhere or see my children.
Or get health care or a pension.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and so they were like going through these 285 case by case. So in 2009, there were, the group of lost Canadians had shrunk to about 80. So Diane Finley did do a lot of work.
Yep. Props to you, Diane.
Right? But they were saying there was still in that 85, like, children of war brides, children born out of wedlock during World War II, and Mennonites who had been refused citizenship by the Canadian government.
Yeah, Mennonites.
Right? Your people.
The peeps.
But then the number of people who were still considered lost Canadians was shrinking because a lot of these people are dying off because they're all, you know, old by this point. And then they said one person who died while waiting for citizenship was Guy Valliere, a World War II veteran who had been publicly promised citizenship by Diane Finley.
No.
He died before he was able to get it.
His name was probably Guy.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I'm sorry, Guy. But he was a World War II veteran.
Ugh.
Give him his goddamn citizenship.
Diane!
So another case of note was Priscilla Corey. So these are still people who are, this is as of 2010.
So recent.
Yeah, the Vancouver Sun reported on this. This is a woman who at 87 was who, despite having received passports in the past and being on an old aid pension and Canadian pension plan and having come to Canada when she was 20, was denied a new passport because she was considered to not be a Canadian citizen.
What?
So because of this, so she had allowed her passport to lapse because she was like, I'm getting old, I'm not going to travel anymore. And then her grandson was getting married in Australia. So she was like, I want to go to that wedding. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
And then applied for a passport and they were like, JK, you're not a Canadian citizen.
Even though she had already had passports.
Even though she'd already had passports. And she said in the article from the Vancouver Sun that she had sworn allegiance to Canada twice in her life.
How many times have you sworn allegiance to Canada?
Not even one time.
Not even once.
I know.
That's how many times I've done it.
And one of the things they said in these articles was they were like, there's probably a lot more lost Canadians that don't even know that they're lost Canadians because they just have never
encountered
it. Yeah. Like any of us could have applied for a passport. They're saying another real problem was border babies because they're born weirdly like in North Dakota or something, or like the hospital was closer, so like the parents filled out the birth certificate in the States, but then the person lives their entire life in Canada and then suddenly applies for a passport at 25 and then can't.
But it's not
passport.
Like you're American either.
No.
Like, it's not like you, they're like, oh, actually you're this other country.
Yeah,
like,
you're completely stateless. Like, you have no citizenship anywhere. It's really strange. And like this woman, you know, she like is from England, but she wouldn't really have an English citizenship, I don't think, because she's been in Canada for 67 years. Fuck, I don't know. And so then when this this story made national coverage when the Vancouver Sun covered it, and so she was able to get her citizenship at that point because the government was like, oh, sorry, here you go.
Honestly, what I've learned is that you, like, if you just put something in the paper, then the government is forced to do whatever you want.
Yeah. And she, like, what she did say, she was like, it was just really annoying because she's like, I have a lot of people that can vouch that I'm Canadian.
Yeah.
But, and she said she kept going to the citizenship office and there's, like, all these people who are brand new to Canada. Nothing against them, but they're getting their citizenship. And she's like, I live here.
Yeah.
Like, I've lived here for 60 years. And so it's just very strange. Another person that was, like, an interesting story was this girl named Bertie Funk, who grew up small town Manitoba. She had a passport. She used the passport to travel to South Africa. But then she suddenly received a letter from Citizenship and Immigration Canada when she was 36, informing her that she was no longer a Canadian citizen.
Whoa.
And so she was living in, like, Squamish, BC at the time. She's like, I had no idea what the hell was going on. And it was just this weird arcane law that says anyone born abroad between February 15th, 1977 and April 16th, 1981 to Canadian parents who were also born outside the country have to officially apply to retain their nationality before the age of 28.
That is the most arbitrary thing I've ever heard.
It's just insane. Like, it's the, and she says in the article, she was like, I could have done that if someone had told
me. How are you supposed to know that?
But how are you ever supposed to know that if you're born between very specific dates of between 1977 and 1981.
And your parents are also born outside of Canada but are Canadian citizens.
Yeah. That you need to declare your nationality.
Oh, man, this honestly just makes me so mad at the government.
Right? And so she, like, reached out to the Minister of Immigration. No one responded to her. And then she eventually received a discretionary grant. And this is what's crazy about this one, too, is that she had a Canadian passport. She traveled on a passport and was fine, you know? And so it's just crazy to me that you can apply for a passport. And that even when you applied for a passport, someone wouldn't say to you, just so that you know, this law applies to you.
Yeah, because you'd think when you go to get a passport, there would be, you know, a little, like, ping would go off that, like, oh, also.
Yeah.
Like.
And if you expect her to know about that, and if you expect that someone is going to send her that letter that says, hi, you're not a Canadian citizen anymore, that also, someone
like,
could let her.
Imagine if that's your job, to, like, send letters that you're like, sorry, you're not a citizen, bye.
Because of this weird arcane and arbitrary law.
Don't call us.
Bye. So, yeah. I was just going to read another story, but this one is sad. It's about a man who died because he wasn't able to receive medical care because he was a lost Canadian who was denied citizenship.
Canada, what are you doing?
By the time, you know, he was able to pay for medical care, he found out he had terminal lung cancer, and then he was given 4 months to live.
Oh, that's the story you're not going to read?
I just read it. Sorry. Sorry, everyone. And so now, even now, they're making all these amendments to the law. Mm-hmm. Things are getting changed. Less lost Canadians. Just kidding. There are always new lost Canadians to be found. So because of some of these amendments that are addressing the original problem, it's kind of creating a potential for a new group of lost Canadians. For example, there was a girl named Rachel Chandler who was born in China to a Libya-born son of Canadian parents and a Chinese woman. And because her parents' marriage wasn't recognized by China at the time of her birth, she was not granted citizenship in China. And because she was born after Bill C-37 took effect, which is the amendment they were making to the Canadian citizenship law, her father could not pass on his Canadian citizenship to her. This apparently rendered her stateless, which is against the Convention on the Rights of the Child, which is part of the UN, and Canada is a signatory on that.
Yeah.
So in this convoluted scenario, this girl now holds an Irish passport.
What?
Because she was entitled to Irish citizenship through her Irish-born paternal grandfather.
So now she's an Irish citizen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the UN was like, you gotta belong to somebody.
Yeah, they're like, you can't just have a child that doesn't belong anywhere, so you'll be Irish.
That is
Irish.
So weird.
Yeah.
And Ireland was like, sure, she can come here.
We love her. So, yeah. I don't really know how to end this because it's just like
an ongoing
problem of
yeesh.
Stupid. But a fun story is one notable lost Canadian.
Tell me.
Is Robert Goulet.
Oh, Robert Goulet.
Known songstress.
I think he's a songster.
A known songster and international star.
International man of mystery.
Yeah. So he was, lived most of his life in Canada, but he was technically born in Boston. Yeah, he applied for citizenship, but they denied him again and again and again. He got a senator to try to, like, work on it, like a Canadian senator trying to, like, put in some good words for him. And then he tried to sort out the matter when he was in Canada to accept introduction into Canada's Walk of Fame. But unfortunately, Robert Goulet died before he was able to get his Canadian citizenship.
I'm sorry, that's your fun story.
So, fucking Canada.
Oh my God. So, here's the lesson I take from this. I think that we should all go to the government house, where the government lives, and we should assert our Canadian citizenship. And what do you do? Just like you put your hand on a maple leaf. And then you, like, hold up a shot of syrup.
Yeah, and then you, like, put a beaver on your head.
And you're like, I am Canadian! It's like you have to recite the, like, speech from those beer commercials.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what you have to do.
Okay, so everybody, listen. We're gonna go on Saturday.
Yeah.
So meet us at Saturday at the government's house.
Yeah.
At, maybe three.
Yeah, let's say three.
Because, like, I want to have brunch first.
Yeah, and I might want a nap in the early afternoon.
Yeah, so, like, hard 11 o'clock brunch.
Yeah.
12:30 nap.
Yeah, yeah.
And then soft 3 o'clock we'll
meet. Soft 3 o'clock government house.
Yeah.
And we'll say, hey, Mr. Prime Minister.
Yeah.
I'm a Canadian citizen. You're a Canadian citizen. Becca over there is a Canadian citizen.
And he'll be like, I'm actually visiting from Germany.
And I'll be like, get out of here. God damn it. I'll be like, do you want to be a Canadian citizen? Get in here, Dirk. His name's Dirk.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
Yeah. I was like, I don't really know, like, what to do with all that information. And it sucks. Like, yeah, I get, like, 80 people is not a lot of people. But, like, that's a lot of people to be weirdly denied their citizenship. Yeah,
like, it's not one person who has slipped through the cracks. It's, like, a whole lot of people.
Yeah.
And those are just the ones we know about.
I know. And it's all rooted in this weird, archaic 1940s, like, women and children belong to men rule.
Ugh. Honestly, Canada, sometimes I just can't with you.
I know. And, like, yeah, citizenship is complicated. And, you know, we all need to, like, have rules for bringing people in the country or whatever, whatever. But these are people that have, like, lived in Canada their whole lives.
Yeah.
They're, like, nice people.
Well, you don't know them.
I know them.
Maybe they're not nice.
All.
But even if they're not nice, they still deserve to have citizenship in the country where they live.
And you know what, Canada? We have enough celebrities getting citizenship in other countries.
It's true.
You could fucking give Robert Goulet his fucking Canadian citizenship.
Well, you can't, 'cause he died.
But he died.
Yeah.
Anyways, follow us on Twitter at Weird Canada. And, I don't think that's the name of
it. I don't think that's our handle.
Weird Stuff Canada? Oh, shit.
You got
Weird _ Canada.
This is your only job.
I know. I've been really slacking on the Twitter. And email us at weirdstuffcanada@gmail.com.
And like and subscribe on iTunes.
And thanks, everyone, for all your comments and for all your listens. And
we stand on guard.
I am a Canadian.